Now this is book 22, Roman 22, no date on it, except 1959. Starts October 27. Trying again, apomoluria, formic acid, and haptoglobin, a new solution. With various other things. There is in this gel, there is a new solution of haptoglobin, acid urea from so and so, from and glucagon and urea and so on. No particular comments on it. And then a two-dimensional gel again, 8-mole urea in the main gel and formate in the first dimension, with or without iodo. It says no iodoacetamide. And the comment that all of the first components are soluble in 50-50-10 after dying. So that that's one of the problems, is that the first components wash out of the gel rather easily. They don't form very stable complexes with amido black when in 50-50-10 buffer. The urea gels were always a little bit of a pain. They took a long time to set. And what Wednesday, October 27th, was a comment on the preparing them. 8-mole urea gel made by solid urea and starch mixed and rapidly stirred into the buffer and sets in about 2 minutes. Heating at 50 liquefies it readily, and heating at 100 gives a pH 6. After 10 minutes and gassing, in other words, the urea had decomposed. So, this is just saying that the 8-mole urea gel is made by solid urea plus starch, which are mixed and rapidly stirred into the buffer, and it sets in about 2 minutes, but can be easily controlled and pouring as possible at pH at 1 to 1.5 minutes pH 4. Heating it again, as I said, liquefies it, and at 50 degrees is safe, but 100 degrees is too much. Heating at 70 degrees for 6 minutes, the pH changes from 3.90 to 3.96, not very bad. Some gels run, but they were not kept, though it says very promising, none show a wide back growth zone. This is 6 minutes at 70 degrees, more than 30 minutes at 50, and 9 minutes at 50, and no heating. And various comments on them. So it's evidently messing around with making the gel. Thursday, October 29th shows that a gel made 0501 8-mole urea by cold mixing and heated at 50 degrees. The pH stayed really pretty constant, up to 20 minutes, and even but at 40 minutes began to get a little bit higher pH, and 180 minutes the pH was changed from 3.95 to 4.16, and the comment that thus a reaction probably occurs appreciably with any times at 50 degrees. But try at 35 degrees. But at 20 degrees, the extrapolation said that the rate would be negligible. So trying different ways of making the gel. A heated urea gel. The gel made by cold mixing, room temperature setting, 8 moles of urea was not kept, no image of it, but the 0.05 molar formic acid gel, the result is shown. All the same whether the stock solution had been heated or the urea or recrystallized. Or unheated stock urea, unheated recrystallized urea didn't really make any difference. Trying to work out whether the urea made any difference. Cold. 8 mole area, cold mix, cold set, tested, still the same pattern, but the current was very low, more tests, formate gel, urea gel, on Monday, November 22nd, trying to get things to work. A two-dimensional gel on November 3rd. Rather poor two-dimensional. Trying dimethyl sulfate, not obviously why. A reference to E.A. Werner, Journal of the Chemical Society, with a comment, methyl isourea is the, and picric acid. Six grams of urea. And 12.6 grams of Me2SO4. I have my doubts, but there's something wrong with this. The urea was heated to 100 to 120, and dimethyl sulfate was added very slowly with stirring. A viscous mass, needles crystallized. Needle crystals of picrate with the sodium picrate, and a gel was run with 8 mole urea cold mix with haptoglobin with water, haptoglobin with urea, haptoglobin with isourea, with a poor run, but the front double and back multiple. In other words, nothing unusual. Attempted recrystallizing isourea. Potassium cyanate was considered. So this was the November 5th gels, which had been with haptoglobin with isoluria and urea and potassium cyanate and isopicrate, and there really wasn't any obvious difference. All of the patterns are basically the same as far as the fast components are concerned. Various amino acids were tried for no obvious reason in the formic acid, sodium hydroxide. Gel, arginine with urea, asparagine with or without urea, aspartic with or without urea, glutamine with and without glutamic acid, etc. Glucosamine, histidine, lysine, and lysine acetone. And the results are Monday the 9th, only lysine, O-methyl isourea sulfate looked promising. The gel was run Monday the 9th, very little difference. Eight molar urea, November 10th, Tuesday, November 10th, Wednesday, November 11th. Again, nothing showing anything very different. Usual multiple bands in the slow component and two in the fast when using haptoglobin 1-1. Sunday, November 15th, an oxalic acid gel, pH 3.23 with 8 molar urea, and then the CT acid gel, pH 5.3 with 8 molar urea, testing various substances, and clearly the 8 molar urea oxalic acid is much better than the acetic acid gel. Still worrying about multiple jet bands in the constant region, so Wednesday, November 18th, to determine if the multiple bands are due to loss of NH2 from iodoacetamide. Using a carbidiamide. No comments really on the result, which is shown on the Wednesday, November 18th, a page or so afterwards. (Clears throat) Wednesday, November 18th, to test the isolation procedure. So this is the beginning of tests that eventually made sense. Fresh serum was prepared Tuesday to Wednesday and desalted and put on diethylamine, DEA column, etc., eluted in the usual way, and then treated with urea and mercaptan ethanol and iodoacetamide. Well, the no mention of iodoacetamide, actually. And it isn't clear where the serum came from at that point. The gel is shown without much comment. In fact, without any comment. Rather messy page in the book where some filter paper chromatography sheets are present and have really damaged the surrounding book a little rather. I'm trying chromatography of glutamic acid with urea, glutamine with urea, and no differences. Plus or minus urea. Formamide tests again. Checks of with and without iodoacetamide. Thursday, November 26th. Still two bands in the haptoglobin 1-1. Maybe the serum was from me, because I think I'm a heterozygote for 1F1S, which was part of the problem. Still not recognized. Two-dimensional gels on Wednesday, November 25th, showing nothing unexpected. And again on Wednesday, November 25th. And that the fast components easily wash out of the gel if one is not careful. And then Friday, November 27th, from this date, all the haptoglobin 1-1 is a new lot. and sodium sulfide again, and here on Saturday, Sunday 29th, a check of various preparations. But with no interpretation of the results listed. Getting ready for some more two-dimensional gel, and they occur on the following few pages with nothing very much learned from them. Monday, Tuesday, November 30th, December 1st, to check if acidification removes the multiple zones. I was worrying about the multiple zones and trying different things and still multiple. This was after making them acidic with glacial acetic acid versus not making them acidic. Wednesday, December 2nd, 3rd, haptoglobin second grade and a new lot of haptoglobin, both 1-1. With a comment that they're testing sodium sulfide again. and a very good run. So that's increasing amounts of sodium sulfide with second grade haptoglobin 1-1 and with first grade haptoglobin 1-1. And the result is independent of the concentration of sodium sulfide and is equivalent to previous results, i.e. two major fast components and two minor ones. So try two-dimensional gel. I'm still getting two bands at the front. But there are some complications in this one. There are too many faster bands that doesn't seem to be worrying me, but it will worry me now. Very complicated patterns with the sodium sulfide on the gels on Wednesday, 2nd and 3rd, being made ready for two-dimensional. And there the two-dimensional gels don't show nothing very striking, everything this migrates into the gel. You might say diagonal is expected if there's nothing different happening. Sodium Na plus SH minus versus mercaptoethanol suggests that a second type of bond is split by mercaptoethanol. Maybe a thioester interchange occurs. Think of thioester. Yeah. Tests of hydroxylamine. With the result that no obvious differences, plus or minus hydroxylamine in this way. Test with it for longer periods. But the sodium sulfide patterns are much more complicated than the mercaptoethanol ones. Thinking about checking a shifting of SS or SCHO and a sodium boron hydride reduction on December 9th. 2-dimensional gels on the following page with nothing remarkable found from them, quite a lot of work. Those are tests December 10th of SCO, iodoacetamide, hydroxylamine, sodium sulfide, gel into the gel, and trying to understand where the double band comes from in the fast component. Possible the Friday, December 11th, trying to get the cleavage of SS bonds followed by iodoacetamide very rapidly. So this is 8-mole urea, mercaptoethanol, and then samples go into iodoacetamide at intervals. 70 seconds, 120 seconds, 185, 4 minutes, 8 minutes, 16. 32 minutes, 60 minutes, and not a hoot of difference. No difference in haptoglobin. Very fast reaction. So it doesn't matter how the reaction is very rapid, as I've already said before. But it's rather interesting that this haptoglobin 1-1 has not two bands in the same proportion as previously, but not noted. Test of SCO versus and mercaptoethanol. Mercaptoethanol. No effect above with iodoacetamide in this experiment. Thioglycolate retest. Trying Cefadex to get rid of the urea, December 15th. Beginning to think again about reoxidation, split haptoglobin, dialyzed. And try to oxidize. Try with ascorbic acid. Many different things tested. Looking for fractionation. Running a gel with 8 molar formic acid, 8 molar urea formic acid containing 0.02 molar mercaptoethanol. The sodium sulfide product is converted completely into the same product as is obtained with mercaptoethanol, with and without iodoacetamide, so that the comment is that And then the other gel is 8 molar urea formic acid with 2 millimolar sodium sulfide. So one is with 20 millimolar mercaptoethanol and 8 molar urea formic acid, and the other is with 2 millimolar sodium sulfide formic acid and 8 molar urea. And the sodium sulfide gel still shows a difference between whether the product was reduced with mercaptan ethanol or sodium sulfide, with or without mercaptan ethanol. But if the gel contains 0.02 molar mercaptan ethanol, everything goes the same. So the mercaptan ethanol effect is reversible in the presence of free SH groups. So that the sodium sulfide gel is the sodium sulfide product, which is complicated, can be simplified by mercaptan ethanol. A little comment from George here. Olive of the haptoglobin preparations done during November by Mrs. Brenda Taltree. I think they are quite good. He's sending a haptoglobin preparation of a family, a Uchida family. No, a Taltree family. This is separate. There is a family being tested on Wednesday, December 16th. Just a straightforward family test. And the other is just a note saying where the haptoglobin came from. Thursday, December 17th is a good page, because here it's an attempt to use SDS precipitation to fractionate the the alpha change from the beta change. So this is 1:55 p.m. Mercaptan ethanol and haptoglobin 1:1, and then reduced in 8 mole urea borate and iodoacetamide added, and then onto a Sevadex column. And then dispensed to different concentrations of sodium lauryl sulfate, and then precipitations and centrifuge to get rid of the precipitate. And so this is an attempt to purify the haptoglobin alpha change by precipitation. And the gel is really quite nice on that, but fairly critical. On Wednesday, December 16th, is the beginning of how we later purified the alpha chain. Untreated Sevadex aluate is shown, and then with 0.0005 molar, then 0.002, etc., 2.15003 molar SDS, and so on. And although it's very critical concentration, there are very good alpha chains, as we later call them, with 3 millimolar sodium lauryl sulfide SDS. Thus, a promising tube is 0.002 or 0.00215. It's a very critical, extremely good fractionation. 0.003 is almost pure, is the comment. The start of being able to get pure alpha chains. Test with lauryl sulfate. SDS, sodium lauryl sulfate, with type 2-2. So the material is, to recapitulate, the material is freed from urea by passing down the column and then is treated with SDS. In this particular method. And in this case, 0.002 is very clean. As shown by the gel on Friday, December 18th. And with a note that the slow fraction is already decreased in the dialysate, suggesting that it will aggregate very considerably even without any LD lauryl sulfate. Back to testing with the hemoglobin pre-splitting. So Saturday, December 19th, the 2:2 purified sodium lauryl sulfate fraction plus or minus hemoglobin was made, but I forgot that this is acid, and so added a borate. And the result is as shown on the gel, that benzidine is in the borate. This is a borate gel on the material, and that the hemoglobin is clearly still present and reacting, but there is no indication that adding the SDS purified material makes any difference. But there's no comment on it. Trying to let the Cephidex column stand. Thinking about the precipitation that occurs in the dialysate. So we'll run it in the column and wait is the idea. So the column, 0.5 mils of a mixture is put on the top of the column, 3 milliliter wash rapidly, and nothing will yet come out because it doesn't come out until the 0.6 mils more is added. And so there is a region of at least a clear zone of 1 centimeter with hemoglobin at the bottom. This is an attempt to see whether any binding occurs. And the Cephidex evaluate 1-1 C it's called. It probably means crew, and 2-2 Cephidex evaluate. No fraction in the 1-1, no fractionation in 1-1, and very little in 2-2 on the column. United the fractions which are with the eluate of the Cephidex column. So the Cephidex column now has been allowed to remove everything, and the haptoglobin consisting of still of the large molecular weight and the small molecular weight material has been allowed to has been prepared, and the comment that they were united and left in the cold, and they'd almost gelled in the cold, was the comment. So recovery, Sunday, December 20th, the recovery of the sodium lauryl sulfate precipitate from the 18th, 3.2 mils. And a comment of George's, Monday, December 21st, that George GEC found a 2-2 split and freeze-dried could be extracted with ethanol and then phosphate buffer to get the fast only. So that's another way of getting the fast component. Comment of So here was an experiment in trying different methods of fractionation again. This is on Monday, December 21st, following some ideas of George Connell, where 2-2 haptoglobin had been run through Cevidex to get it into in 1 millimolar. Formic acid, 20% neutralized. And so it's acidic, but very low ionic strength. And tried the same buffers for isoelectric precipitation without success. Added a little mercaptoethanol to each to try to get slow They get the slow components of precipitation, etc., etc. But there was some promise because formic acid extract, acetic acid, tris extract. Because the tris pH 7.5 gave a precipitation of small plus a clear supernatant. So I tested on the gel, and the results were quite promising, although I say very promising indeed, but looking at them now I would not be quite so happy about them. That formic acid gave about 90% fast and 10% slow. The formic acid extract and the the formic acid being on the right-hand side of the photograph, and the top of the gel. The gel is, in fact, oriented rather awkwardly. To see the result, I think I'm going to stop there and change the illustration. No, I won't do that. The result is that the formic acid extract is quite promising, looking at it now, but my interpretation at the time was that it's very promising indeed. Then testing two-dimensional gel with one extract, impossibly complicated gel. With not much comment on them. Could be different, could be equivalent. A column again. Tuesday, December 29th, a fairly extensive attempt to purify again on column. 15 milligrams of 1-1 FB pure from November 59 was reduced in 8 molar urea borate with mercaptan ethanol and then iodoacetamide onto a Sevadex column, 25 centimeters by 1.2 centimeters in formic acid, and fractionated. And then various amounts of sodium lauryl sulfate were added to the acidic eluate. The result shows that precipitation occurs when the SDS or the lauryl sulfate reached about 0.015 molar. The later fractions were used for electrophoresis tests, and the electrophoresis tests showed a very satisfactory result, that there really is quite good fractionation again with the material at higher concentrations than 0.02 molar are pretty well free from the heavy chain. Two gels are shown. One, it may be the staining after being in 50-50-10 to wash out the fast components. It's not complete absence of the heavy chain, but it's fairly good. And trying it on 2-1, haptoglobin 2-1 again, and haptoglobin 2-2 also, with the gels being run on probably Wednesday, December 30th or thereabouts. The 2-1 purification is really not very good. The 2-2 is considerably better. So why one worked and the other didn't is not clear. In fact, the next page addresses that problem. So as in view of the poor amount of separation of 2-2 in the 0.0501 formic and known aggregation of HV2 under these conditions, try 2 molar urea and 4 molar urea for the Johnson type. So beginning to think it wasn't quite so simple. And so on Friday, January 1st, I did an approximate precipitation curve in 2 molar urea with the 2-2. And the urea, the comment is thus, the urea has lengthened the gap between the slow and fast. It's quite a nice separation. There's a rather long tail, is the comment. The gel shows that the fractionation is not complete, but the long tail of the curve is probably due to the fast component. Purity is fairly good on the top of the tail. Looking at the gel now, it looks quite good. And testing 4 molar. And again, an idealized curve drawn, but no precipitation, but cloudiness with the sodium lauryl sulfate. At first, but very clean at 30%. Is the comment. So there is. Let's go over that again. The two haptoglobin with type. With 4 molar urea, and then the there is a fairly clean material obtained at 0.034 or 0.032, sodium lauryl sulfate, and they're very therefore promising for the Johnson type. And the last entry of this book, which is on Friday, January the 1st, working New Year's Day, is a test of fractionation of sodium boron hydride on haptoglobin. So dialysates with haptoglobin reduced with sodium boron hydride. And with a comment that sodium boron hydride has no effect. And that's the end of this book.